Welcome to St. Joseph CME Church. My name is Patricia Jackson. I'm a lifelong member of St. Joseph, and I serve as the church secretary. You're listening to the Histories of Home Soundwalk, a production of the Marion Cheek Jackson Center for Saving and Making History. The center is named for my mother-in-law, Mrs. Marion Cheek Jackson. She has served as the historian of St. Joseph CME since the early 1950s, and she's lived her entire life on Merritt Mill Road. Mrs. Jackson's love and knowledge of history, her wisdom, and her passion for these neighborhoods inspired us to create the Jackson Center in 2008. On this walk, you'll hear the voices of everyday history makers, those who live, worship, work, and play in the neighborhoods now known to many as Northside. This is a chance for you to listen and to learn the history of our community from the people who have made it. On Sundays at church, I usually give the announcements and some words of welcome. I always tell people, we're glad you're here. We hope our service will be an inspiration to you today and many days to come. Well, today, we hope this sound walk will be an inspiration to you. As I say on Sunday mornings, if you are visiting for the first or second time, just continue to come. Come and be a part of the history that is made here every single day. In a minute, I'll turn it over to my friend and former classmate, Minister Willis Farrington. The two of us will be showing you around. Right now, you should be standing on the front steps of St. Joseph facing Rosemary Street. As you listen to Brother Willis, begin your leisurely walk through the front gate of the church and turn right. Stop where the churchyard fence ends, just before the driveway.
Hi, my name is Willis Farrington, actually Minister Willis Farrington now. I grew up in Chapel Hill, basically all my youth. Left here probably in 1975, 76. Went to Durham, North Carolina Central. Actually left, went to Connecticut, came back. Then I ended up back here. And been here basically all my life. Been at St. Joseph CME Church all my life, so glad to be here, glad to be part of this ministry.
Continue on the sidewalk a short ways and pause when you're able to see down the street to your left. That's the Midway Business District. Just stop and wait on the sidewalk while you listen to Minister Farrington describe this area's historic black-owned businesses.
How you doing, man? Good to see you, man.
Good.
Yes, sir. Doing good?
Yeah.
Good. You're looking good.
Long the good Lord keep you.
You're looking good. Always a pleasure, man.
Yes, sir.
Always a pleasure.
All right.
Yes, sir. You too. All right. Well, you hear people talk about Mama Dip. Well, before Mama Dip, before they even thought about all of this, this huge facility right here, Greenbrier, I guess that's what we call it, used to be Bill's Barbecue. And Bill's Barbecue was where Mama Dip pretty much, from what we, those that know her and know him, kind of got her start from their little restaurant used to sit right here and had the best chicken sandwiches and chuck wagon sandwiches and hot dogs in town. And then, of course, almost on the corner of Graham Street and Rosemary, Mason's Grocery kind of started. And I say Mason Grocery because there was two segments. Part of it was the grocery store, or the little store. And then the other part was the hair salon where he owned. And then, of course, he had a little motel, which is right here on the other side over here. And then, of course, St. Paul Church has always been there. Oh, and the building adjacent to Sunset Drive, right next to the large building, used to be a black-owned pool room. Actually, I worked there racking balls, believe it or not. as a kid, probably 13, 14 years old, probably shouldn't even been in there. But, you know, back then you do whatever you could to make a little hustle. So I was able to rack balls for them, you know, and stay there to probably 10, 11 o'clock at night. I made $3, $4 and I went home, you know.
Continue to the right on the sidewalk, then turn right on North Graham Street. As you walk, you'll hear from Mr. Joseph Farrington. He came to Graham Street in January 1946 after serving in World War II. He was a pioneer on this block and helped build many of the houses constructed here during that time. If you hang around, you can still catch him driving his blue tractor through the neighborhood.
Then we started from scratch. Right here. Build a foundation. You dig your footings out. Dig it. It's treacherous for your footings. You get post cement. Make cement and put a footing on them. So then you come up with your masonry work, but then you go build a brick foundation or a rock foundation. This house got a rock foundation on it. Yeah, that's right. I don't think the houses was being built now is as sturdy as some of the houses built back then. I really don't.
All the houses you see here now, I mean, they're here now basically on Graham Street, are pretty much the same. And everybody in the area here was closely well knitted. They were very closely tied to one another. If you needed something, you didn't have it, you could go next door and ask for it. Matter of fact, if they had it, you had it. So it wasn't one of those things where people were pretty much afraid of one another. There were times where we actually went to sleep with our front door wide open, just the storm door open.
She said, I want a home. So I said, okay, I'm going to build you a house. So I built this house from ground up.
Mr. and Mrs. R.D. and Uzelle Smith built their home just a few blocks from here. They dedicated their lives to educating young people in Chapel Hill, and Smith Middle School was named for them in 2001. Mr. Smith also served on the town council for many years. Keep walking and listening. When you get to the end of this block, stop and wait to hear from me.
And we moved in this house in 1946?
1950.
Mm-hmm.
First Saturday in November, 1950.
I had a book that says, Your Home, but How to Build It Yourself. I read that book over and over and over again, so I got an idea of what I need to do to build a house. So this, as a result of that book, this house was built.
It took him about a year to build it.
I had a lot of friends help me, you know.
When we came here, a lot of people in this block were related. And see, this area was not in the city limits. We had no paved streets, no city services. The nearest traffic light was at the corner of Nagday and Church. No fire protection, no garbage pickup, no city services at all. And it was long after that, I remember one summer, we had a grass fire in this field. It was a field right out here. And the fire truck came and they parked right there. And people were putting out the fire and they didn't even get out because we were not in the city. So we didn't qualify for city services. Just the way things were, you accepted it, you know.
When you have segregated communities like that, it's easy to deny adequate infrastructure. For a long period of time, the streets that I'm talking about were unpaved, no sidewalks, no running water, no sewer. While the remainder of Chapel Hill had all those facilities available to them.
Stop at the corner of Whitaker Street and continue listening to Mr. David Mason. He grew up on Graham Street and attended Lincoln High School. During his time there, he and a dozen friends began a new phase in the history of Chapel Hill when they staged the first sit-in of the local civil rights movement. Mr. Mason now heads the Lincoln High Alumni Association. Just listen for a minute. I'll tell you where to go next.
After church, all of the students would go to Big John's place and get sodas and things of that nature. And during, I guess it must have been February of 1960, shortly after the demonstrations in the sit-ins, I should say, in Greensboro. I was the president of my class, and then there was another fellow that was a year older than me. His sister goes out church now, named Harold Foster. And we were all up to the M&M grill. And he says, Dave said, you know, we need to stage our own sit-in. And I said, well, where should we go? He said, the place is obvious. We're going to Big John. All our lives, all of us, we had been taught to do what you were told, where your place was, and things of that nature. Not only in the home, but in the church and in the school as well. So when we made a decision to go down to Big John Colonial Drugstore, that defied everything that we had been taught. All of a sudden, we were doing things we were taught not to do.
Now take a right onto Whitaker Street.
This house right here is actually used to be Mr. James and his wife's home. This was one of the houses. This was the community house of the neighborhood of the guys and the girls when we grew up. Everybody met here around that big tree right there in his driveway, and that's just where we played hide and go seek. And that wire coming down off that pole right there was the wire that I hit one night running trying to get home base and about hung myself. So I'll never forget that.
When you get to the baseball field, cross over to the sidewalk and head to the left on North Robinson Street.
This house right here, there used to be a property there. And who owned that house was actually, used to be one of the former local preachers at St. Joseph, was Mr. Nathaniel French. Not Nathaniel French, Thomas French. Nathaniel was his brother, right? But he stayed right here at this house right here. And his daddy, called Mr. Sim Farrington, was one of the pioneers of Chapel Hill that had his transportation was a horse and a buggy. Somebody would pass the word, Mr. Sim is leaving. And when he was leaving, he may go riding up the street here with his horse and his buggy with hay on. And by the time he come through the neighborhood, he have the whole buggy filled up with us going on what we call a hayride. Now, that was a real hayride there because you had the real horse, you had the real buggy, and you had the real buggy wheels.
And see, during that time, we could only go to school, to church, Sunday school, and it was always home, Sunday school, the church, and in school. We got the same lesson in our core values from those three, and each one reinforced, you know, what you learned.
Ms. Esper Foster still lives in the house her mother had built for them on Cotton Street in 1959. Ms. Foster worked at the UNC Law School for over 25 years. So just about every lawyer in the state knows and loves her. If you listen closely, you'll hear a few words from her brother, Mr. Harold Foster, a leader in our local civil rights movement. When you get to the corner, stop. Wait there as you listen to the Fosters.
You know, and we would help each other like Granny Flax. I know you've heard about Granny Flax. Granny Flax was a free slave. Her mother was white and her father was a slave. And she was a petite lady. real, real light skin, blue eyes. Yeah, Granny Flat. And she always had a garden and had corn. So in the fall, we would all, everybody from the neighborhood would go help her. The corn would be stacked up to the ceiling. And we would all go help her shuck corn. And I don't know who took the corn to Durham for her to have it ground into meal. And then that was money for her. Plus she would have a meal for the summer. And what is so incredible to me, and I love Maya, who says, "And yet we rise like cream to the top," because we were stripped of everything. Babies were taken from their mother's chest. We don't know what tribes we came from. We don't know where some of our people were sent. I mean, just basic stuff that a lot of people take for granted. And it just, we're nothing without our history.
I got made up my mind to live with Jesus. I got made up my mind to live on the Lord.
On the opposite corner, you can see a sign for McDade Street. Watch for cars, cross the street, and begin walking up McDade. As you go up the hill, look for a low rock wall covered in ivy on your left. That's where local youth gathered to plan the early sit-ins in Chapel Hill.
When I was in the seventh grade, I had just left Northside Elementary School, the all-black elementary school, and I was sent to Chapel Hill Junior High School, which was on West Franklin Street. When I went there, it was like going into a new world, where I knew from birth time I popped out of the womb, I was going to have trouble.
Miss Keith Edwards was the first African-American woman to serve as a UNC police officer. She has fought for this community her whole life. Now she's helping build a movement to preserve the neighborhood's diversity and affordability. When you get to Church Street, at the end of the block, stop and wait for me.
And I had to respond a different way whenever I approach someone other than my own race. And so having known that, Chapel Hill Junior High was the last place I wanted to go because that was all white school. But anyway, I went anyway, and I was spit on, kicked on, called names all day long and all that I was supposed to learn in that atmosphere. When I was coming home, a lot of anxiety as I was going home. But as I got close to my neighborhood, I got right there at the intersection of Church Street and Lindsay Street. The anxiety, whole lot of that stuff ended. And as I was coming down McDade Street, it stopped. As long as you stayed in the perimeter of that neighborhood, you were safe from the outside world and the realities of real life, because you were in a cocoon, safe.
Tina Brown. We called it Tina Brown, but this is the Edwards. This is where they growed up at. This is where they growed up at. And it was, whoa. That was Monet, Cheryl, Keith, Kimberly, their brother Michael, but all of them pretty much was raised out of this house right here.
What you had was 11 kids in that house, and a mother, father, and a grandmother. We were all able to pack into the house, but the town was given some grants to go out and improve the living conditions of minorities in Chapel Hill. The homeowners were given a choice of having a new house or have the other one remodeled. So by us opting to have that new house, it had more bedrooms in it. But to tell you the truth, we were happier in the home that had less room, because the other house that we lived in, it was not a house, it was a home. Within that home, there was love. Today, you can have the biggest, beautiful house or the smallest house, but if it don't have the elements to make it a home, it's just a house, just bricks or whatever, wood or whatever put together. And I have gone into some homes where the porch was falling down, where it rained in the house, but it had buckets everywhere. The house would talk to you when the wind blows and, you know, it was coming through the windows and all that, and you could just hear the wind just whistle when it came in. But, you know, we didn't care because that was not what you went there for. You went for what the people in that house represented, and they represented a sense of community, a sense of belonging, a sense of kinship.
Wait on the sidewalk on the corner of Church Street as Minister Farrington describes the segregation lines that were drawn here.
Now, at this point here, as we were growing up, when you come to the corner of Mac Dave and Church Street, wow. To the right here, with the exception of 500, black family stayed there. But to the right here, up this way, was where the whites pretty much stayed. To the left, and all the way back around to Sykes, Whitaker Street and all that, that's pretty much where the bulk of your black folks stayed in the Chapel Hill back during the 60s, 70s. I think probably in the early 80s when you start seeing, you know, the mixture of whites start coming in and actually start living within in this area here. But back during that time, you can bank it on it. All this right here was pretty much black.
Head to the left on Church Street. Ms. Elaine Norwood will describe the changes she's seen during her time in the neighborhood. Ms. Norwood, a longtime usher at First Baptist Church, has spent almost her whole life here. Keep walking until you get to the corner of Caldwell Street and stop there.
So everybody had homes. You know what I'm saying? A few people was renting, but most of the people had homes. And then too, along Franklin Street, you know where McDonald's is up there? Blacks used to own all that. Cafes, cab stand, pool room. Used to live, but blacks used to own all of that up in there. No more. I mean, we really don't have a place to say that blacks own that could go. I mean, go have a nice meal or whatever, except dips. Okay, you got that, you know. But I'm just saying, with all the businesses that we used to have when I was growing up, everything's gone. That covers McMaster's, Caldwell Street, MacDave Street, Lindsay Street, Mitchell Lane, Robinson Street. I don't think it'll ever go back the way it was. That I know. The only thing that bothers me is I don't mind anybody moving into the neighborhood, but help the neighborhood, keep it clean. You know, I don't care if you don't speak to me. I'm going to speak to you anyway, or wave my hand. To me, that's very important. Very important.
Stand on the corner and look down Caldwell Street to your left. You can see the site of the old Orange County Training School, which later became Lincoln High School and Northside Elementary. Everyone who grew up here between the 1920s and the early 1960s attended these schools, myself included. These institutions were pillars of our community, and after many years, a school is back in Northside. We hope our children and grandchildren will have a chance to make memories there, just like we did. Now please turn around and walk back down Church Street. It'll be a few minutes before your next turn, so just walk and listen. I'll keep you on the right track.
I feel like I try really hard to be a good neighbor. Like, I try to be quiet, but, like, it just really upsets me that, like, people would lump me in with, like, the people that live in that fraternity house across mm-hmm. the street and, like, make a lot of noise. Like, I'm just as annoyed by that as our neighbors across the street mm-hmm. are, I'm sure. Like, and it's hard because, like, I completely understand. Like, and I would feel the same way because there's such a strong influence here of, like, people who look like us doing things that are really obnoxious.
Caroline Phillips lived in a house on McDade Street with several of her friends while they were undergraduate students at UNC.
And I really wish that I could, like, talk to some people that live in the neighborhood, like, really live here. But I just don't really know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I say hello, and I, like, try to be friendly to people. But I guess I just don't really have, like, a background of, like, going up to my neighbor and just, like, starting a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Because then I also just feel like this is a really cool place to live, and if, like, we could get to know our neighbors, it would probably be really fun, and, like,
yeah.
we're lucky to be living in a neighborhood where everyone cares so much about the neighborhood, and, like, there's such a community feeling, but they're just, like, we don't really know how
yeah.
to, like, even start getting involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know, and they still don't know. They just, like, they move here, and they don't understand why, what's like special about it, and they don't ever find out, and so, like, they don't change their behavior. Like, it took me a while when I got here just kind of start realizing that, like, we were a part of a bigger thing.
When you started moving to the right of MacDade, headed toward town up Church Street, as I said, all of this over here to your left of Church Street has always been pretty much, that's where the white population started. It was no problem at all back here back then. Actually, no problem. Definitely no problem at all. At least for myself. And I never known anybody that said it was a problem or whatever. But Carver, it was a whole different story. You knew. I mean, they would put the dogs out at you. You knew you were gonna something was gonna happen, just a matter of when. But this area here was totally different. Pentagraph stayed here. One of my classmates named Christy Pentagraph. Her grandmother, Miss Goldie, was very instrumental in the history of First Baptist Church. Because that's what I think most of them went to, First Baptist Church. And then, of course, actually, this brother here, Avon, I don't know if you know Avon or not. That's another historian right there, Avon Lassiter. Do it. How you doing, my brother? And see, they stay also in this area right here and been here for, you know, seem like forever. Hey, Mr. Lassiter. How you doing, sir? Good, good, good. But all this right here was black. All the way down Linda Street was black. Okay, so, and I said a few minutes ago from Mac Dave back, but really it was Lindsay Street back. But with the exception of a couple of families in between. But all of this here was all black.
When you get to Lindsay Street, stop on the corner sidewalk. Wait there as Miss Kathy Atwater describes some of the changes she's seen on her block.
This was actually my aunt's house, who was my godmother. And this was actually her father's house. So it was built in the late 1800s. And his sister, which was my grandmother, actually lived in the house across the street. I guess I have mixed emotions to see across the street where I used to go for family reunions be changed into a 5-bedroom resident for
yeah.
students. You know, it's just hard to see that. But I try not to dwell on it because, like I said, I know change happens.
Maybe Make a right onto Lindsay Street. You'll pass the homes of some lifelong residents, including Miss Velma Perry, a longtime community activist and the historian at St. Paul AME Church. You'll hear from Miss Atwater again. She has deep roots here and retired from UNC after 30 years of service. She is committed to making sure that her neighbors have a say in the future of Northside. For years, she has worked to sustain and build our community with groups including the Neighborhood Watch, Empowerment Incorporated, and the SOS Coalition.
As a matter of fact, the university was built on the backs of slaves. So there would not be a university if there had not been the blacks in this community to help build the university. And some of the residents who are still here, they're their ancestors. My grandfather, he worked with the university, and he would carry water from the old well to the dorms for the students. That was a resident of the community helping the university become what it is. So, but I actually was raised down the street, about four houses down at the bottom of the hill. Everybody was just family. I mean, even in the neighborhood, the families that were in the neighborhood, we all looked after one another. You know, nobody was left to themselves. You felt safe because you had people looking out for you. And I think that's where most of the hurt comes from those who are still here. They remember how it used to be and how they felt like they had something.
Hannah Friedman roomed with Caroline, who you heard from earlier, in a neighborhood house while she studied at UNC. Hannah also got to know our community through a class created in partnership with St. Joseph CME Church.
Something I've been thinking about a lot lately is that I think of myself as a student that's here for 4 years, and I think of like my contributions, like both negative and positive, to this area and to be able to live here as like a temporary thing. I think that's really problematic because I'm a temporary student, but students are not temporary. Mm-hmm. I think students are part of the Northside narrative, and the reason that it's negative is because students don't realize that they are consistently part of the Northside narrative. Mm-hmm. I guess being a good neighbor to me means being more aware of the connectedness between me and the people who lived here last year and the people who lived here the year before, that we are students, and that, like, even though what I do may not carry on through me personally, that we're creating some sort of pattern and some sort of cycle. And to be intentional this year means that it creates some kind of legacy. Just as, like, the university, like, we think so much about what it means to be a Tar Heel in the Carolina way, even though what each student does on a four-year basis is really different, but like we think that there are patterns. So if there are patterns mm-hmm. in being a Tar Heel, why can't there be positive patterns in being a member of this community?
When Lindsay Street meets Mitchell Lane, stop on the corner sidewalk to your right. Wait there while Ms. Atwater shares some of her hopes for the neighborhood's future.
I would like change to incorporate the ones who are most affected. And I would like a coming together of those who are coming into this environment to work together. Know who your neighbors are. You know, go next door and introduce yourself and let them know, well, I'm going to be here for however long you're going to be there, and, you know, if I can help or if you have any problems or anything. Just making that personal contact. And I think all of us coming together saying, okay, we're here, so let's help each other so that we can all live in harmony. Because like I said before, change is going to happen, but let us be a part of the change. Build on what you started to make it even better. Just build on it to make it better.
Head to the right on Mitchell Lane and listen to Minister Farrington.
And it brings back memory. This big old oak tree been there forever. That was be one of the trees where we used to come and hang out in the woods, right here, this big old oak tree here. Because all this here was woody. And what we used to do is actually, this would be our pathway. And see, this was part of our connect back to Whitaker Street. So this was actually like a circle that come all the way around. But this is area here where we should come in and maybe just lay up in the woods and just kind of just drink pops and, you know, just eat potato chips or cakes or whatever. And then we were just going our merry way.
You'll be turning onto the first street on your left across from the bus stop. When you get there, watch for cars. Cross over to the left and walk up the hill.
My best friend, one of my best friends at that time, was actually a guy called Stinky, William Fashik. He stayed at the other side of the pathway, where I said it was just a path. But on the other side, there was one big house in there. Their house and the house Jane Britton used to stay in. James Britton was very instrumental in the black movement throughout. You probably heard his name many times also. Through the black movement during the marching time. My name was actually Pookie. It was Pookie. Everybody know me. And some people, believe it or not, still know me as Pookie and don't know me as Willis. So a lot of people get offended by their nickname, but I don't. It don't bother me one way or the other because that's all that I've ever known from that particular person. If they know me by Pookie, they've been knowing me for years. It ain't something where they just last 10, 15 years, they find out, realize who I was. No, that's somebody who's been knowing me for many, many years.
Continue up the hill on the sidewalk. You will see the backstop for the baseball field up ahead. The intersection facing the baseball field is the setting for Minister Farrington's next story. Walk until you get to the wooden stairs. Stop there and take a break from your walking as you listen.
There was used to be a stop sign at the end of Robinson Street and Whitaker Street. Not many people used it. And I say that because coming off this hill here, it used to be a fence just like it is today, but the fence was closer to this way, in this direction. And it used to be a slope over here. Well, we made this hill, me and the guys, we called it the Rat Patrol. And then, excuse me, you probably don't remember, but Rat Patrol used to be where this TV program came on where the guys riding on the back of a Jeep and they would go jump over these hills in the desert with this Jeep. Well, we used this hill here as a fun time where we would come on our bikes and we would go leap up in the air and land down and hopefully we could land straight and then we're going out into the field. But at the intersection of Whitaker and Robinson, Mama told me to stop jumping the hill because people was coming through here with cars and they wouldn't stop. I said, okay, Mama. So me and Tony Perry was just jumping one day. So all of a sudden, Tony Perry decided to stop, and Tony Perry stayed at the house right there where the Jones stayed there. The Perry stayed there before them. But we was jumping the hill, and then all of a sudden, Tony went in the house and got a ham sandwich. In the midst of that, I'm still jumping, you know, getting probably 10 feet in the air, good, doing good, coming down, landing. Turn around and coming back up the top of the hill, waiting for Tony. Tony came out with the ham sandwich, and he asked me if I wanted ham. I said, yeah, of course. I said, and rather than eat the ham sandwich and then jump the hill, well, I was going to jump the hill with the ham sandwich in one hand and me riding the bike, you know, no problem. I'm that good. So I came down the hill wide open. And all of a sudden, I went up in the air about 8 feet, 10 feet, doing good. Then all of a sudden, the bike started tilting to the right. And as it tilted to the right, the ground was slowly but surely approaching. And when it did, the ham sandwich went one way, and of course my head hit the ground and went the other way, and it knocked me slap out. Next thing I remember, I was waking up. Nobody went to the hospital back then. Mama's was your doctor. So Mama was at church too. So all of a sudden, I wake up, and I have all of these old sheet taped around my head looking like a mummy. And And she wanted to know, she already knew, but she wanted me to tell her what happened. Well, I told her I jumped the hill. Didn't I tell you nothing? Yes, you did. Okay, so that was one episode. Hargraves used to be my home away from home. Hargraves was the place when I got in trouble at 414 Whitaker Street. David Lyons, who was my other, David, Stinky, and myself, we were like the three stooges. We were, you saw one, you would see the other one. When we got in trouble, we would go to the other one's house, and then we would come back and congregate at Hargraves, one Hargraves at the time. It was Robinson Street Community Center.
Continue on the sidewalk up North Robinson Street. To your left is Hargraves Community Center. Take a walk over to the main entrance with Mr. Nate Davis. He grew up going to Robinson Street Community Center, which was later renamed to honor the memory of Billy Hargraves. Mr. Davis started working here when he was 21, and he's shared his passion for youth in the community as its director since 1986. In addition to serving this community, Hargraves housed the first Black Navy band in the United States in the 1940s and once hosted Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. See if you can find Mr. Davis in the mural on the front of the building and have a seat on the bench in front of the main doors while you listen.
You know, people in the community got together and said, we need this facility. So, you know, we had people like Miss Rebecca Clark, Mr. Willis Bobby and his brother, and just a citizen in the North Side Pine Knoll community. A lot of the rocks came from Mr. Charles Craig, property on Merritt Mill Road. You know, the community went out and got the rocks and brought the rocks over. And they would mainly work on the building after they got off from their regular job during the day, where the men would come over and work, and their wives would bring them dinner while they were working. At Hargraves, when Fred, we call him Toro, Fred Battle was working here, you know, sometimes he would just come in to work and say, Davis, let's go. He'd get two or three cars and load the guys up, you know, make some bologna sandwiches and make some Kool-Aid, and go play basketball all day. Everybody came and played, you know, on the outdoor court at Hargraves. UNC basketball players, you know, came over and played with the guys. So, hey, how you doing? And this is part of the Holmes Daycare Center. And Holmes Daycare Center has been just as long as Hargraves has been here. Miss Barbara, she came to play when she was
years ago, then. I just sitting here looking at how it's changed.
You know, I grew up here. I've seen a lot of things, good and bad. So it means a lot for me to be here, to be able to help some of the kids that's coming through the facility now. I have three sons. All of them attended all the program at Hargraves. Matter of fact, they grew up at Hargraves. It's mean a lot to be a part of something that I feel like I helped this facility grow to where it is now.
Chelsea Austin is a recent graduate of Chapel Hill High School and a powerful youth leader in our community. She is a member of St. Joseph CME Church, her family church, for generations. Chelsea has advocated for youth in our community in town council meetings and on the airways as one of the hosts of Fusion Youth Radio.
My family has grown up in this area, so my great-grandmother lives in the house of her mother. So from what I heard, you can leave your door open and not have to worry about someone coming in your house. It was very safe. Everybody knew each other, so it was just like a home, even if you wasn't in your home, exactly. You could just walk outside your door. lot of my friends have moved out to like apartments and stuff like that because they have not been able to afford their houses. So I've seen a lot of my friends being pushed out of this area. And I feel like I just had to like help people my age understand the history of what has gone on in this community, like understand how rich this community is because it was like owned by our ancestors and the people that were before us. And that's how we need to treat it. We need to love our community and embrace it because it is ours. Like we have to somewhat like take it back and do something for it that we can be proud of. There's history on the streets. Just embrace that and hold it and keep it, save it for the future.
You've almost reached the end of your walk. From here, just continue on the sidewalk up North Robertson Street back towards Rosemary Street where you started. When you reach the corner, turn right on Rosemary and then follow the path through the gate to the front steps of St. Joseph. As you near the church, listen to the words of our former pastor and Jackson Center co-founder, Reverend Troy F. Harrison.
I suggest to all of us that we should dream. Dreams empower people and dreams move people from one point to the next. I suggest that dreams happen outside of sleeping.
Then we started from scratch, right there. Build a foundation, you dig your footings out, you get some post cement, from then to you build a brick foundation or a rock foundation. This house got a rock foundation.
Dream.
Yeah.
Never die.
She said, I want a house. I want a house. I want a home. So I built this house from ground up.
There's a struggle that's going on among us. It is amazing as I look at the scheme of things, 90% of the wealth in this country is only controlled by 10%. Of the population.
And I love Maya who says, and yet we rise, like creeping to the top, because we were stripped of everything.
There's a struggle going on, yet dreams never die. It is in the midst of struggle that dreams become a reality. It's in the midst of struggle that dreams take on new meaning and provide new hope for those who are oppressed and struggling.
That defied everything that we had been taught. All of a sudden, we were doing things we were taught not to do.
And what we have to come together as a community and understand is that Chapel Hill is not just the historic district. Chapel Hill is not just the elitist district. But Chapel Hill is composed of Richfield and Rogers Road and Northside.
Change is going to happen, but let us be a part of the change. Build on what you started to make it even better.
And decisions and policies that we make ought to embrace dreams. Dreams of a better place and a better time and a better situation for all of Chapel Hill. And the dream is embodied in each of you who are under the sound of my voice. The dream is embodied in every young person who walks one of these halls of ivory, either at the University of North Carolina or at one of these other institutions in the state.
So if there are patterns in being a Tar Heel, why can't there be positive patterns in being a member of this community?
Because let's think about it as we think about gentrification.
You can have the biggest, beautiful house or the smallest house. But if it don't have the elements to make it a home, it's just a house, just bricks or whatever, wood or whatever put together.
In our community where there is this progression of sustainability, sustainability as defined by who? What has sustained this community is the cohesiveness of brothers and sisters working together. What has sustained this community is churches working together. What has sustained this community has not been brick and mortar. What has sustained this community has not been an influx of greed. But what has sustained this community has been faith.
That's right.
Faith in a God who never fails. Faith in a God who will always see his people through. Faith in a God who will always stand by the oppressed and the downtrodden. That's what has sustained this community. And I would dare anyone who would challenge me on that definition of sustainability.
There's history on the streets. Just embrace that and hold it and keep it, save it for the future.
That we don't need an influx of bricks and mortar to sustain us. But what we need is faith in a God who's unable to fail. What we need is faith in each other. And what we need is love. Love for all God's creation.
Thank you so much for walking and listening with us. Histories of Home was produced by the Marion Cheek Jackson Center in collaboration with many neighbors and friends. If you borrowed a CD or MP3 player, you can now return it to the Jackson Center. If not, please come on in and talk with us for a bit before you leave. This sound walk is a short introduction to the rich history of our community. We can give you ways to learn more about our past and tell you how to get involved in the exciting things happening in our neighborhoods today. We encourage you to visit us often, to check out our website, and to share your thoughts, ideas, and stories with us. Remember what I always say to our visitors. If you are visiting for the first or second time, just continue to come. Come and continue to be a part of the history we make here every single day.